This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, hands down, the biggest single issue in the country at the moment is what to do with Eskom's balance sheet. And Kossatu's plan to use government employees' pensions money via the PIC to help stabilise Eskom by reducing that mammoth 450 billion rand debt pile has drawn a lot of debate. Some critique, some support, depending on where you sit. Today, we had Abel Sotodi, who's the principal officer of the Government Employees Pension Fund, giving an interview to Business Day, saying that the GEPF will not invest in Eskom purely to save the country. It needs to ensure that there is some kind of return if it's going to be using workers' money to bail out effectively the ailing state-owned enterprise, which by all accounts is in a death spiral as it seeks to increase revenue. People will use increased revenue through tariff increases. People use less of its services and its product that it produces, and so it continues. How do we sort Eskom out? Well, we've only got two lines available, so and we've got three guests. So what we're going to do is invite our first two guests, and then we're going to say goodbye to Matthew Parks, the parliamentary coordinator of Kossatu. Matthew, welcome. We're going to say goodbye to you about halfway through, and then welcome Duma Mubele, economist and founder at KIO Advisory Services. So thanks for joining us first up. And we also welcome Andrew Cantor, Chief Investment Officer of Future Growth Asset Management. Matthew, no one wants the lights to go off. Just remind us, what is the nub of Kossatu's proposal?
Sure. Look, our thing is that we're in a national crisis. Eskom is in a death spiral, as you mentioned. No one can dispute that. And if we allow things to continue as they are, Eskom will collapse. We've seen with SAA how rapidly things can collapse, and it gets to the point where there's too little time to intervene. So we're saying, look, we need to all intervene now, and that's going to save it. Not just Kossatu, but business, government, community. We must all contribute and compromise. We need a social compact that can save it. Eskom's problems are also multifaceted. There's no one single solution which will save it. But one critical aspect is, as you said, the debt levels, which are unsustainable. Eskom is spending more money servicing its debt, investing in maintenance. Hence, we're seeing a massive rise in load shedding, which is bleeding the economy. And look, we can choose not to do anything. Eskom will either collapse or will be forced to go to the IMF a few months down the road. And the IMF will impose conditions which are so painful to us that it actually will send us into a recession. They will retrench workers, slash social grants, service delivery, etc. So we're saying, look, we all need to compromise. We as Labour and as Kossatu are willing to not just offer solutions, but come with practical proposals. So we've said one thing is around the debt issue, but we're calling it a bailout for us as an investment in the most strategic company in our economy. All of our work, all of our jobs depend upon Eskom survival. Equally, our pensions depend upon it, because if Eskom collapses, the stock market will collapse, and it will take our pensions down with it. So we're saying we need a special finance vehicle, which includes not just the PIC, but also the government, the developmental finance institutions like the Development Bank, but also the private sector. All of us must contribute. We must share the load, the risk, and so on. And we must invest in Eskom to help relieve it of the debt burden. But look, it's not a blank check. It's not a free gift. It's not without conditions. We would look at a combination of investment through government bonds, which are guaranteed, where you'll receive a dividend down the road. Also, we think that the PIC should become an equity partner in Eskom, where we can have a seat at the table and force Eskom to undergo the restructuring and the cleaning up that is necessary to get it back on its feet. Because we can't have a never-ending conversation about Eskom going down the road. And we need to bite the bullet and so on. And look, it can be done. Some of the critics, like the DA, have attacked us saying it will collapse the GEPF, which is not true. We're simply looking at a 3% to 7% shift of the PIC's investments from the stock market to Eskom. That is easily manageable. 3 or 7% shift in the PIC investments will not threaten 93%. That's a fact. There are always risks in life, but that is a guarantee. It will not affect, not jeopardize it. But we can also say that if you don't save Eskom, we'll have no jobs left in this country. We'll have no pensions left. And it's up to us as South Africans to be patriotic, to come forward with a solution. And then look, I think I'm probably, us casting sort of principles of a social compact, which includes business, labor, and government. We must all contribute and compromise. But the modalities of you know, the technicalities we can talk about on, and if people have constructive proposals and solutions, we'll be very happy to listen to them and see how do we enrich each other. We've received very fantastic responses from across society, from economists like Duma, from progressive academics, but also from business and even investment funds. Actually, we contribute because this is about saving South Africa. It is about the national good.
I think Matthew,
quite optimistic in that regard.
Thank you. I just have to stop you there, just for the interests of time. I think you've set out your store, and I'd like to invite Andrew Cantor to respond to that, because Andrew, obviously the devil with these things lies in the detail. I think the one thing the crisis is doing is forcing everyone to shift, hopefully, towards a pragmatic solution here. But what do you make of Kasatu's proposals?
So let's just start by saying we're dealing with some very, very weighty long-term issues here. The world is transitioning to a carbon-free environment, so we have just environmental sustainability on the planet. At the same time, South Africa has to rebuild its entire power sector over the coming 20, 30 years to be clean, green, and least cost. That's the key. Least cost energy. Okay, let's be frank. The first thing is we must have energy, which is a problem right now. But after that, least cost energy makes us give us competitive advantage in the world, which means job creation, exports, and the generally rising economy. That is the key, least cost energy while being clean and green. So what we're talking about is a long-term transition. And the other weighty matter is we got an entire industry of workers, both in the current power sector and obviously in the affiliated industries like coal, who have careers and lives, and we have to talk about a just transition. So a social compact kind of makes sense. Now, let's be clear where I, as an institutional investor, would draw the line, and that is when no party outside of people who are pension fund trustees and their fiduciary advisors should be saying how pension funds, private or public, should be investing their funds. These things are negotiated transactions. We the pension fund industry, are enormous funders of ESCOM already, and can be again in the future under certain sets of conditions. But when we've tried to assert conditions in the past, they say like governance, reporting, financial ratios, efficiency metrics, you get rebuffed. Now, I'm sorry, you're not going to put a gun to people's head and say you must throw money into a black hole. So I've heard the comment from Kasatu that it will become with conditions, da da da. Well, let us do our job. We can do it. We're happy to do it. We all are part of the economy. We all know full well if ESCOM fails, we all go down with it. The money's here. The pension funds are willing under the right set of circumstances. The key issue of enforcing or proposing that pension funds be forced to do such thing, e.g. prescription, or to just blithely talk about throwing the government employees' pension fund money at it, is verges on irresponsible. I'm glad to hear what you said about Abel Satoli's comments.
The question has to be, Matthew, and back to you, on the issue of prescribed assets and the issue here of moral hazard, surely, because one might say that this is a unique circumstance and this is a once-off, but the problem is there's a serious risk of moral hazard here if we go down this road. Is there not a concern that later individuals can use this as a justification for further prescribed assets and throwing worker money behind other failed state-owned enterprises, as we heard today from the Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan, the $3.5 billion that was on lent by the DBSA to SAA will likely be used up in March. It's just going into this bottomless pit without any real reform. Matthew?
Hi, yes. Sorry, the lines got cut a little bit, but I think I caught the gist at the end.
Yeah, the gist of the question is around moral hazard, that prescribed assets introduces this moral hazard.
Yeah, look, I would say a couple of things. One is that nobody else, without being arrogant, nobody else has offered a single solution to ESCOM in the country. We need solutions. It's fine for all of us to complain and we don't agree with the problems. Mm. But we need practical solutions. And we're actually putting our necks on the line as Kasatu, that we are willing to put our money where our mouth is. We can continue down this road and be like ostriches. ESCOM will collapse. We'll have no economy. We'll have no pensions. Equally, it's important to remember that this money, of PIC, doesn't belong to investment funds. Doesn't belong to companies of the stock market who seem to be very jealous in China guard it. It belongs to workers. And we're simply saying, can this money benefit and save the most important company in the economy, which all of us depend upon for everything in life? We think it's a reasonable, fiscally sound way, because we're talking about 3% up to 7% of the PIC's investments, not 100%. We're only looking at ESCOM in particular, not looking at other SOEs like SABC, etc. And equally, you know, it's a bit hypocritical because some companies say, no, no, don't do this, it's risky, but they don't disclose that those companies themselves actually benefit from PIC shares on those companies. But look, whether we like Eskom or hate Eskom, it's fine. The reality is Eskom generates 95% of our electricity. It distributes and transmits 100%. So there's no alternative but to save Eskom right now. You can open the window to IPP generation, that's fine, but it'll take them a decade to keep the way Eskom is today. You don't have a decade to wait. Equally, we have to accept the responsibility of the debt and try to assist government in a way which doesn't shift the buck from Eskom to government, but looks in a way that's manageable for Eskom. So it's not the ideal thing. 2 years ago, when Melusi Gigaba was the Minister of Finance, he came to COSATU, he made his proposal, we chased him away, because it was the era of state capture and industrial-scale looting. We're now in a precipice where we have to act, but equally we have a change in leadership in government and the presidents and ministers who are determined to clean up their rot in the state. We need to help them in that fight, and it literally is a life and death fight. You can allow, for example, SAA to collapse. The economy will survive. It'll be painful, but it will survive. Eskom collapsing will be a devastating impact which will take decades to recover from.
Matthew, on the point of solutions, and I get your point, I think COSATU do have to be commended for at least putting something on the table. There are other proposals. Professor Anton Eberhard and Javier Steyn of Meridian Economics have put forward a proposal to use an SPV that accesses green climate funds internationally in exchange for commitments to decarbonize the economy as a potential solution. So I want to stick on this idea of solutions, and Andrew, bounce it back to you. What should be done about Eskom's finances? How do we fix the thing? From your perspective, what would you like to see happen?
First, Matthew, nobody's rebelling against the idea of new ideas and an actually pragmatic discussion. Labor is a key stakeholder in this discussion and ought to be heard and ought to be considered. There's no doubt about that. So please don't take my comments as shutting down debate. That said, when we talk about offering pragmatic solutions, the finance and alternative energy industry channeled a couple hundred billion rand into the alternative industry in 3 years, running very complex projects and executed on every one of probably something like 80 projects to build the grid. We could do it again as an industry quickly, efficiently, ethically, without corruption. In a couple of years, we could have another couple gigawatts on the grid. And yet that is being held up in the politics of the situation. We have the money, the pension funds are ready to go, the asset managers are ready to go, the banks are ready to go, the suppliers are ready to go. Let's build power. By the way, and let's put in reverse metering so people can build rooftop solar if they could afford it, or factories can put in rooftop solar and sell back to the grid. So we've got a backup system there. So there's a lot of ideas out there. It's not just a matter of Eskom's finances. As far as Eskom's balance sheet and finance go, the fact is, and let's be frank with each other, A, Eskom as an entity, the coal-fired industry, is a dying industry. It will be gone in 30 years. Done. It's a finished industry. It's a dying runoff book. And the debt that goes along with it, it's high-cost debt. We, as all the taxpayers, are going to have to bear it one way or the other, because frankly, it's all government guaranteed. So we can either restructure it now and do a big bang thing, or you can basically let it run off and the government can just trickle feed money in over the coming 30 years to service the debt for the cash flows that are lacking. I'm guessing the compromise will be slightly higher tariffs because Eskom becomes a backup battery to a clean energy grid. And there's going to have to be efficiency improvements in Eskom and get those plants running properly. I don't think this requires a big bang solution. I think the government already wears the risk and wears the cost. That means we wear it as taxpayers. And you can run it off over 30 years.
Matthew, just your response to that, and then we'll say goodbye and get Duma on the line.
Okay, cool. I agree with Andrew 100%. So our proposal to Eskom wasn't simply around the issue of the debt intervention, but it's actually a 30-point intervention plan, which looks at not just short-term interventions, but also medium and long-term. And so some of the ideas that Andrew raised specifically about tapping into international green funding, because we do know many of our energy power stations will reach the end of a lifespan in 2, 3, 5, 10 years. Eskom hasn't got the money to really invest in new generation, so we need to tap into that. And we've actually said specifically Eskom's generation mandate must be amended by the minister to allow it to own and produce its own renewable energy. But also we need to be creative. We need to actually start investing in creating renewable energy technology like solar panels locally, and especially to do that in provinces like Mpumalanga, Limpopo, which are the coal belt. And as you start shedding jobs in the coal mining sector, we need to find alternative employment for those workers. We've also said that we should actually require, by law, all 7.5 million buildings in the country to have locally produced solar panels on the roofs. This is a chance to create new jobs, to actually make energy sector an income and a job generation industry for the economy, not just a drain. And if we do it in a smart way, we can actually export electricity once again to neighboring states, to the rest of Africa. And really, worth having to say, can we exploit the crisis for maximum opportunity benefits, not just for today, but also for the future? And then that will help us to produce clean energy, to decarbonize and so on. But we're also saying that if we continue to skip on the job, we're going to hit many crises which have a devastating impact. So for us, we're quite keen. And we've been very pleasantly surprised by many people from business and saying they're willing to contribute, both financially, with skills, with expertise, and that for us is a way to solve this crisis. Well,
that, contribute together. That is encouraging, Matthew. That really is encouraging. And what I've picked up as well is the debate has become far more urgent around solutions and realizing that fundamentally we're all on this same boat together. Andrew, I'd love to see, I believe we don't have Andrew on the line. Do we have Duma on the line? Duma, are you there? No, we don't have Duma on the line either. So, Matthew, it's just you and I.
Load shedding is causing mayhem with the lines.
Load shedding is causing mayhem with the lines. And that is the bottom line for the South African economy at the moment. We're in the doldrums. We can't grow above 1% at the moment because of load shedding, because of our energy constraints. And it's the reason we see such record high unemployment numbers. It's the reason that we have world record leading youth unemployment as well. We really have to solve for the number one issue. In the just transition that Andrew was speaking about, there is a big challenge to find a way to get workers in the coal sector, and in Mpumalanga in particular, to transition through the next 30 years into the renewable energy space. As COSATU, what sort of engagements have you had? I know progressive academics like Mark Swilling and others have proposed some very interesting strategies to ensure that the disruptions on workers are minimized. How far down the road are those discussions?
To be honest with you, they're not far enough. And they're huge risks, but also huge opportunities. If we ignore them, it will become a disaster. But they're massive opportunities, and we have to do it. We don't want to see what happened in the gold mining sector, happened to the coal sector, where 60,000 workers lost their jobs and they were left on their own, you know, when an economy with 40% unemployment. But they're huge opportunities. We can exploit them, and they can be fantastic game changers. So we've had some initial discussions with the Minister for Environmental Affairs, very positive, with the Minister for Public Enterprises and the President. But we really need to move from a stage of talking and theorizing to action. Workers need to get a sense of hope. So we specifically proposed, for example, let us have a just transition pilot project in Mpumalanga, which targets coal mine workers, that you can engage in building a solar panel factory there. There's funds available in the Department of Labor and in the United Nations for such projects. We've got an excellent mine worker development agency under the NUM. So really, it's just a question of us getting off our backsides, to be honest with you, and doing what needs to be done. And the opportunities are huge. We know that the future of consumer electricity is solar panels on the houses. But right now, solar panels are made in China. The only thing we add locally is the aluminium frames. If you can start building those locally, it'll be a game changer. You'll create jobs, you'll reduce household electricity consumption, put money in pockets, you release the pressure that's gone, and it's an opportunity to export to Africa. Just move.
Absolutely. They are fantastic opportunities, Matthew. I'm so encouraged to hear the kinds of solutions you are putting on the table. We've got Duma Mbele, economist and founder of KIO Advisory Services, on the line. Duma, sorry to bring you in at such a late stage in the conversation. We're obviously talking about COSATU's plans and proposals to help fix the Eskom balance sheet. What do you make of them? What do you make of these proposals to use the likes of the GEPF and various other DFIs to be part of the solution?
Yes, I've been saying this for quite a number of years, that there's this insane accumulation of assets in the PIC. It's well beyond what is needed to fund the pensions. We've got a funding of 108% in the PIC. Now, the thing is, there's two ways to fund pensions. You can fund them on a pay-as-you-go basis. The contributions are equal to the benefit payments. And the reason for most public sector pension funds globally in OECD countries, do not have funding or partial funding, if you understand what I'm saying. So now the reason for that is that a private company can go bust and have to pay the pensions on the same day, but a government cannot go bust. There will always be teachers, nurses and policemen to pay and take contributions from. But so I say we have to have a political discussion about the appropriate level of funding we need in that PIC, and then whatever excess we should use to bail out and the government and also Eskom, and then we leave just what is required to cover a gap between contributions and payments, which is about 25 billion rand currently. Yes.
Duma, the issue of moral hazard in all of this often springs up when you say, we'll just do this once because it's so serious and Eskom is such a systemic risk to the South African economy. But there are risks that in future, another mismanaged state-owned enterprise might come along and the same reasons are used, and it doesn't create the serious or significant or necessary pressure to reform inside the system.
Yes, I get what you're saying, but right now we just don't have the luxury. We have to get Eskom to a situation where revenues are equal to costs, and we have to look at all ways to do that because they can't be coming at us all the time to fill the gap between revenues and costs, because currently it's 116% of revenues is the cost base if you take out once-off items like foreign exchange losses. By doing what COSATU is proposing, we're going to take 8% of revenues off the cost base, and then we have a remaining 8% where everybody has to take some kind of a haircut to bring this company to become more sustainable. So what we're seeing is a company with a lower level of debt and also a lower level of spending on other things that's what I'm to say, yeah. But you can't do it without a plan to get Eskom on a sustainable footing again.
The one option that government seems to be ignoring, though, is perhaps to reschedule the Eskom debt, forcing Eskom's bondholders into perhaps more favourable terms, and it could do that by switching Eskom bonds into sovereign bonds with different terms and removing the debt from the Eskom balance sheet and putting it rather on the national balance sheet.
Yes, I've looked at that, and I don't actually agree with that, but it is something that we should discuss in the context of a compact for Eskom. It should be on the table. But what I have a problem with that is that it's going to add 5% of GDP to our debt to GDP ratio, and it won't be high by international standards. But I think we should borrow to invest in the economy, and what you not to pay for investment that happened in the past. So I'd rather we borrow to grow the economy and fund a fiscal stimulus for the economy rather than pay for something that happened 10 years ago, whatever. Yeah.
Duma Mabele, economist and founder at KIO Advisory Services, thank you very much. And thanks to our other two guests on the panel tonight. And we had to play musical telephone lines with Andrew Cantor, CIO of Future Growth Asset Management, and Matthew Parks, Parliamentary Coordinator of COSATU. Richard Cox, Full Works up next in Johannesburg, and Sylvia A with the Midweek Show in the Jazz Lounge, just to change things up in Cape Town. Good night.